Most of us were introduced to poetry in school through works of Edgar Allan Poe, Walt Whitman, and William Shakespeare. But in recent decades, the reading and writing of poetry beyond academic assignments has not been all that evident in American popular culture. That trend seems to be changing. And joining us to talk about the resurgence of poetry nationally and why that form of creative writing never lost favor here on the Cape and Islands are the co-editors of the Cape Cod Poetry Review, John Bonanni and Gemma Leghorn. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us, Mindy.
Thank you, Mindy.
And also joining us is poet Kim Baker. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy.
All right, first, I guess congratulations is in order for the publication of the inaugural edition of Cape Cod Poetry Review. And we're going to talk a little bit about the review in a moment. But I want to start with a comment made by John Barr, head of the Poetry Foundation. He maintains much of the poetry written during the past 25 years was difficult to understand and the public lost interest. But perhaps because of our region's strong connection to the arts, poetry really never faded all that far away here on the Cape. What are your thoughts on how poetry has been received by the general public in the past few decades? John, why don't we start with you?
That comment brings to mind an essay written in like the early 90s, I guess, by Dana Goya. He wrote this essay called Can Poetry Matter? And in it, he kind of tackles the subject of the way in which poetry has kind of slipped out of the mainstream into this academic subculture. And I think one of his headings in that essay is where he says it's moved from bohemia to bureaucracy. And I think that speaks a lot to the way in which the accessible poem just lost interest. But I think along the same lines, it's also there have been reactions to that. You know, I mean, you know, in the 80s, there was new formalism. In the 90s, there was, you know, more politically charged poetry. And I think it's not specifically a subculture anymore as much as it's just a lot of different cultures.
Yeah. And anybody else have thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I work in academe, and I think some of the problem is that in the academy, you have to distinguish yourself. And so how are you different than the other guy who came before you? You mm-hmm. want to carve out your niche. And so some of it is you want to try to write things and publish them that'll, you know, sort of wow the academy. So when it's strictly sort of talking about the academy, I think that's part of it. And I think some of it is just that poetry is really music, and just as music has sort of gone in its ways of being inaccessible, I think poetry has. In the music is not always to everybody's liking, mm-hmm. you know. That's mm-hmm. just not every ear hears it the way you hope that it will be heard.
Yeah. And that's true for every art form, you know, what the artist's intention was and what you take away from it. Mm-hmm. So poetry readings in particular, poetry slams, seem to be one place poetry has retained its popularity, even while the reading of poetry has seemed to be diminishing. So how do poetry slams work, and why do you think they're so popular? And for folks who are going, what's a poetry slam? Let's tell first, what is a poetry slam?
A poetry slam, I mean, from what I've heard about it, is where people get together and it's more performance-based poetry, mm-hmm. where they're bringing their poems to the stage, and it's competition based. Mm-hmm. So it works, you know, very much in the way that
like a talent show.
Yeah, kind of like a talent show, or like you know, even like, you know, rap music will mm-hmm. have their battles. You know, mm-hmm. it's similar.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So why are they so popular? Anybody have thoughts on that?
Well, there's also the improvisation aspect to it. So it's sort of a challenge. You get on stage and you don't have anything in front of you.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah. So I think that lends itself to the competitive aspect. I mean, if you can get up there and really wow someone.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I'm thinking some of these rap contests. I think, are they thinking on their feet like that? Mm-hmm. That they come up with you know, it's amazing, you know, how fast their brain must be going to really stay ahead of what you're saying there. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, the latest thing is the Poetry Out Loud. President Obama hosted one of these events at the White House in 2009. So what's Poetry Out Loud?
Poetry Out Loud is, I think in Massachusetts at least, it's run by the Huntington Theater Company, and it's where it encourages students to memorize poems, and then it encourages the recitation of poetry so that you have the rhetoric of poetry, which is, you know, part of the historical part of poetry, kind of gaining a resurgence within schools. And I think that that is, you know, vital and important. And it's something that I missed out on when I was in school. And I wish it had been there, because I was fortunate enough to judge it last year at the Cultural Center in South Yarmouth. Lauren Walk had helped organize a lot of it. And there was this one student that got up there and read Larry Levis. And I mean, Larry Levis is a poet that's dear to my heart, but I didn't discover that guy until, you know, my mid-20s maybe. And I was so impressed
that this student
had memorized an entire poem, and he was getting up there and just, he had such heart in it too, yeah. You know.
Wow. But, well, that's the thing too. I mean, to get up and memorize and get up and recite these poems, when I was growing up, they rhymed. It was easier to remember.
Right.
It's a lot tougher to do that nowadays. And so the rules are different. We're probably about the same age. You remember, there really are no rules, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. There are some interesting things that go on for high school students. Someone told me about a film documentary that I saw that's called Louder Than a Bomb, and it's about the high school students in Chicago from different high schools. They have to write and prepare their own poems, and then they have to write a group poem and perform it. And it will just knock your socks off. Mm. I mean, that's not even enough to say how fantastic it is. And then the reading, the other events where they're reading famous poets that everybody might know with this incredible understanding, because to really read poetry well, you have to really understand it. You're not just reading the words. And so it's a whole different thing than I ever grew up with or knew. I judged a poetry slam at my college last April for Poetry Month. And the students wrote about all these absolutely interesting social justice issues. It wasn't confessional poetry.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're really into life. They are thinking beings, and they are passionate, and it is an amazing experience to watch.
Wow. Great. We're talking about poetry. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. All right, since you mentioned understanding the poem, I think this is an experience a lot of people have. I'm completely lost. I don't know what this poet is trying to tell me. I don't even know if the next line is a continuation of the last line, a new thought. And people have a tendency to give up. Do you think an appreciation of poetry is something that needs to be cultivated? I remember when I was in school, we had music appreciation. But how about poetry appreciation? Is that something that even exists? I mean, is that something we should be thinking about?
I think part of what makes people it's hard for people to understand art in general and poetry in particular, is that they've been beat up in school about not doing it right.
Exactly.
And
there's
this feeling that you have to do it right. You know, I'm a writing instructor, and, you know, my big thing is, I don't care if you like writing. I don't care if you like poetry. I don't care if you like any art, but believe that you can understand it. And so I think if people really went and found what they can access and found what they might like, what speaks to their heart and their ear, they don't have to understand it all. I don't understand everything I read.
Yeah, okay. Me neither. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it. One of my favorite poets is John Ashbery, because you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even in interviews, he's not going to divulge what he thinks that the poem is about. He appreciates that permeability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where people kind of get lost in poetry. Again, they feel like they're not doing it right. They don't get it. But I think part of it is this meditative aspect of allowing yourself to not know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to appreciate.
Well, that's true. I would say that's true with other forms of art. You think an artist who, like some sort of abstract painting, and you go, what are they saying here? What does it mean? And it could mean different things to different people. And some artists will say, well, no, here's what I was thinking. This is what it was. And others will say, well, I like to leave it up to your interpretation. Whatever you think it is, it is.
Exactly.
So there's that aspect, I think, that speaks to all art forms.
Yeah.
All right. So the connections between rap music and poetry run pretty deep. And part of the resurgence of poetry is from young adults interested in writing, performing, rap music. So talk about the similarities between the two.
One of my favorite albums of all time is the Fugees, The Score. I mean, and I love that album. The entire album is just this beautiful echo of race relations in America in the 90s. And, you know, then you have Lauryn Hill on there, you know, who is just the queen of internal rhyme. You know, she's absolutely stellar in that album. And I think listening to rap music ends up giving people this ear for alliteration, for rhyme, for anaphora, you know, all of those necessary things that are very involved in creating poetry. And I think rap music absolutely, I mean, comes into play, you know, especially in the 90s, I think it really started. And I mean, I haven't heard anything like The Score since then, but I keep an ear out for it, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it also speaks to how poetry is sometimes best when it's out loud. Mm-hmm. We've all read a poem that on the page, you like it, but when you hear it out loud,
right.
it's completely different. I think we've had that experience with some of the readers
from the
journal. Yeah. Seeing that poetry read out loud has been just fantastic.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because you don't think of poetry as being kind of cool, but, you know, for the younger stuff. But it is. My daughter had a friend who, you know, he was going to Cape Cod Community College, and he said he was taking a poetry class. I'm like, a young man admitting that he's taking a poetry class? What's this all about? But he said, I want to be a rapper, you know. And I thought, wow, it's what a long way poetry has come in the coolness factor, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And some of it's the music of it, but some of it's the figurative language. We talk in figures all day long, you know, fill in the blank. Today it's as cold as, you know, you know, whatever you're going to fill in the blank with. We talk in figures all day long. We don't even realize it. And I think humans love and create meaning so much more when they relate something to something else. And that's what poetry does. Yeah.
And of course, then from the writer's perspective, this is such an outlet for, you know, we've done some programs where we've had some veterans who really deal with their emotions through their poetry they write, which is absolutely gorgeous. And then, you know, there's different, like, why people write. There's a million different reasons. So, Kim, I have to ask you, you've only been writing poetry for, what, about 6 years, you said?
6 years.
All right, tell us, there's a story here.
Well, when I turn 50, it's one of those milestone moments. And I live in Rhode Island, but I happen to be on a beach in Cape Cod, and I went out for a long walk, and I thought, you know, what is it? What am I going to do? What's this moment, this defining moment? And I have taught writing at a university, and now I'm a coach at a law school, and I thought, I'm a writing teacher who doesn't write. And that seemed like sacrilegious to me. So I thought, well, if I'm going to write anything, what am I going to write? And I always wanted to write poetry. I tried writing in high school and, you know, it was very high school. And so I took a workshop, and the workshop was an amazing experience because it was mostly people my age or older who loved poetry and said, we want to write better poetry. And we weren't thinking about being published. We really just wanted to write. But the person who facilitated the workshop said, you have to send your stuff out and you have to just not be afraid. Mm-hmm. If you want it, try to get it out there. Let the public hear it. So I started sending things out, and you really have to have, you know, a good thick skin because you get a lot of rejections as a poet.
Absolutely.
More so than perhaps a novelist, maybe because, you know, you're writing so many and you're sending so many out. And what I discovered in the journey is that everybody has this creative person inside, but we're in a culture of awards and celebrities. Mm-hmm. And if we're not winning the best award for writing or poetry or whatever art we're in, then we shouldn't do it. And the gift I got through this process is that being creative is being alive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's changed my life.
That's the gift in itself. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little about the publication, the Cape Cod Poetry Review. John and Gemma, this has been a labor of love for the two of you. Where did this idea come from, and what motivated you to bring this whole idea to fruition?
I think we both, well, when John and I met, we were taking a workshop at the Fine Arts Work Center. It wasn't a poetry workshop.
No, it was writing in the first person.
Yeah,
with David Updike.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. And I think we had both sort of thought about starting a literary magazine in some way.
Yeah, I think we were both just like, why doesn't the Cape have one? Like, this is crazy.
Right. And also, I had also been reading about how difficult it is to, and you know, how it's a crazy idea to try to start your own journal or magazine.
Yeah.
And then John, you applied to a grant.
Yeah. Well, I had originally, you know, the idea had been bopping around for a while. And I, you know, open mics at you know, the poetry session at O'Shea's with Greg Hishek. And then I ended up, after talking to Gemma, she just had this energy about her. And it just, I knew I had a teammate, you know. And it was, I was able to apply for the grant. We got rejected for the grant. And then we had other people that were helping us, you know, through the grant application, and then they kind of like fell off the face of the planet afterward. But it was good because Gemma came up to me and she was just like, you know, we can still do it. Mm-hmm. We can still do it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, we knew the website was free. So
yeah, from there.
And we really, there were no startup costs. Mm-hmm. So we could just get it going and hope that we got funding eventually,
exactly.
which we ended up doing. The Arts Foundation of Cape Cod gave us a grant. And we're very grateful to them for that support.
Yeah. It's been vital for the entire magazine. It's wonderful.
We're talking poetry with John Benani and Gemma Leghorn, who are the editors of Cape Cod Poetry Review, and poet Kim Baker. Our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. All right, so let's hear some poetry. We're like halfway through the show. We haven't even gotten any poetry yet. Let's start with the first poem in the journal. It's by Lauren Wall. Who wants to read that?
Sure.
Gemma, you going to read that?
Yeah, I'll read it. This is called At Craigville Beach Parking Lot in the Off Season. We leave spaces between us, but nobody can hide much of anything in this clear October light. The old woman parked to my east is eating an apple. The businessman to my west is on the phone. Both of them are staring straight ahead at the gray Atlantic. There's a whole row of us watching the sea disregard us completely. If I look either right or left, I can see other profiles much like my own, as if I'm staring into a barber's mirror that splits people into echoes. One row back, a UPS truck lurches to a stop. Its driver, brown as his boxes, eats a sandwich from a foil pouch. The gulls give him a yellow glance, but the rest of us ignore each other pretty thoroughly while the sea ignores us all. Suddenly, behind me, a huge black dump truck pulls up and idles like a box full of bears, rumbling and shuddering and smoking its hot pipe. Annoyance radiates down the row like a seismic event. It's supposed to be quiet here, clean. In my mirror, the driver leans his beefy forearms on the steering wheel and lays his chin on his crossed wrists. He's watching the sea snub him, too, but he's smiling anyway. No food, no phone, no poem. Just this. I've always been afraid of bears, but I wouldn't mind if they poked their heads up to take a look around. They must know a lot about how to kill time while Goldilocks is playing house. I'm sure they'd appreciate the solitary indulgences of landlocked men, the smallness of sitting by the sea, the enormity of wide open spaces. Given the chance, I might even join them, but I'm not sure that would be wise. It's safer here in my own little box, where I'm the only one with claws.
Lovely. Now, how did you choose that? That's the first poem in the book. How did you choose that one?
I love so much about that poem. The form itself is it's in couplets, and there's these spaces between every couplet, so the form mimics the meaning. You know, she's talking about a parking lot where you have those white lines right next to each other. And there's also that beautiful volta about where it just shifts into like the bear.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? and then that part I just loved because it felt so unpredicted, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how do you choose the poems in the book? What's the process? Yeah. People submit their poems and it's tough.
It's
Kim saying
very
you get
tough.
A lot of no's, and so you know you've got somebody on the other end going, oh, please, please.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
It's hard.
We struggled
with
that.
Yeah, we did. And we had Greg Hishek as a contributing editor that was really helpful with the decision process. But yeah, people, they submit their work. We wanted it to be blind judging because it's the Cape and it's so small.
Right.
We didn't want it to be, you know, here are my friends and here's this journal,
right,
you know? So
right.
It was helpful to have that aspect of it. And then we you know, that's we all met at the Hot Chocolate
Sparrow.
That's
a great idea, blind judging. Yeah. So you're really basing the work on the work itself.
Yeah.
That's really, really a good idea.
And there were poems that we just, you know, because of our budget, we couldn't, the journal had to be so many pages. So we did have to say no to poems that we would have loved.
So how often is the journal going to be coming out?
We're still working that out.
It's annually right now because it's what we can afford, but I think we'd both like to see it as a biannual, you know?
Yeah.
And so you are, at this point, taking submissions for the next one then?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So and how do people do that? Is that a website?
Yeah. If you go to our website, it's capecodpoetryreview.wordpress.com and just click on submission guidelines.
Right. Kim, let's hear your poem from the book.
So this is an ekphrasis, and an ekphrasis is a poem written about a piece of art. This happens to be a painting by a wonderful Cape artist whose name is Ted Theodorus, and a lot of Cape people know Ted and know his work. And I was able to go to his studio one day and see his artwork, and I came in front of this beautiful painting that's just called Snow Scene, and it's a watercolor, and it was just very sort of mystical, but it was that snow, that time of snow where, you know, it hasn't gotten any footprints and, you know, just that quiet time. So my poem's called Human Spirit, and this is inspired by Snow Scene by Ted Theodorus. I stop halfway to the house, hushed on its haunches. A wide expanse of road rushes to welcome me after such a snow. Seagrass courses the road's shoulder. Gold always could take white in a fight for hospitality. Maple limbs, too tired to wave, shake the snow from their hair. Even the dog has no bravado yet to make his mark. The sky tries to stay awake by shifting its wind. An early morning pole shades the road to block my way. Shadows don't know that the human spirit persists, goes home, no matter the hour out or the climate inside.
Lovely. Now, again, how did you find Kim's? Kim, did you submit your work in online? And how did you connect? Yeah. And this time they said yes.
Yes. Well, you know, I have a number of Cape artist friends, and someone heard about it and said, oh, you should submit. That's the inaugural journal. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I'll submit to anything that seems seems reasonable. You have to just sort of get out there.
Yeah.
So what spoke to you about Kim's poem?
It was beautiful. I think Gemma definitely has an affinity for winter poems, too.
Yeah, I do.
I loved the fact that it was ekphrasis. I think we even talked about possibly getting the art in there at one point. Yeah. But, you know, again, the budget.
Right, exactly.
But, it was just, you know, there aren't many ekphrasis poems that come across your desk.
Right.
You know?
And we should mention the Cape Cod Poetry Review isn't just a compilation of poetry, right? For future editions, you're looking for prose, interviews, translations, essays. So really, you're embracing all forms of creative writing, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So anybody's listening who wants to submit, you're gonna have a lot of people checking into the website.
I hope so.
There's a lot of writers here on Cape Cod.
The more we get, the better the journal is.
And we did put a link up on our page, so if folks want to go to our page, capeandislands.org, there'll be a link to your page so they can check that out. So for listeners who aren't part of the poetry culture, talk about advice on how you get started, where you can go to hear poetry. As you're saying, it's different reading it and hearing it out loud. So somebody goes, you know, I think I might like that. Mm. How do you start? Where do you start?
I would go to a reading. Mm-hmm. Gemma works at the Fine Art Work Center in Provincetown, and they have tons of readings of just great, great talent. I mean, if you're not, you know, that far into the Cape, you know, there's also the Cultural Center in South Yarmouth has open mics to just get your feet wet. I mean, what I used to do was just kind of show up and listen. So I think the next one is January 26th January 31st, and it's called An Evening of Poems About Love, and it's at the Cultural Center in South Yarmouth from 7 to 9 p.m.
Right. Is the Fine Arts Work Center year-round? Do they do the poetry stuff year-round?
Fine Arts Work Center readings are year-round. Yeah, okay. Right now the fellows are there. It's the fellowship program, but the summertime also has programs.
Sorry, Kim, I didn't mean to
interrupt. But Barry Hellman is a wonderful Cape writer and poet and very supportive, I know, of John and Gemma. He has a great website. He has and he posts everything that's going on in terms of poetry on the Cape.
Yeah.
And you can just go to, if you just Google Barry Hellman.
Google Barry Hellman,
His blog comes up and everything's there.
Yeah. So I'm also wondering if poetry is one of those polarizing art forms. You know, either people like it or they don't, like, you know, like jazz or modern art. I guess we have to be open, right? But is it, do you find that's the case? People like it or they don't?
I always think that you just have to find the kind of poetry you like.
You have to
like.
Find the one that speaks to you.
I mean, you really
exactly.
do. Yeah, when you find a poem that you read it and you read it again and again and again.
Oh, my God.
You found, you know, then you can get a little bit deeper into it. I don't know if, what do you think? Are there people who just don't like poetry?
I mean, I think there are. I think, but again, I think it's that part of not looking at poetry as a whole. You know, and only looking at the books that we grab, you know, or, you know, again, what we were taught in school.
Right.
This is right. This is wrong. You know, and I think, I mean, it is. It can be a very esoteric subculture that isn't really accessible to a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be. You know, it's like you said about the poetry slams and rap music. That's all poetry.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think it's just finding the one that speaks to you. Well, it's the same thing with art. Yeah. You know, there's a, you know, we can all be standing in front of the same, you know, painting and it will speak to one of us and maybe not the others. And that's it, like the modern art. I don't understand it, but, you know, there are pieces of modern art that I go, ooh, I just love the way those colors, you know, so it's, so, you know, it is. I guess it's just being open.
I think some of it too is, I agree with John and Gemma, go to a reading. Because, you know, one of the things that I've decided as a poet is that I'm going to read it and you're going to get a good, you know, night's worth of poetry. I don't want you to come and hear me blah, blah, blah my way through my poetry. I want you to feel it and hear it. And maybe we are a society now of entertainment, but if my poetry can get you to like poetry or feel something, you don't even have to like poetry in general, but to feel something, readings are the place that that's going to happen.
And then as far as getting a copy of the Cape Cod Poetry Review, most local bookstores have it?
Yes, most local bookstores. We got Tick Homes, Books by the Sea, Market Street Books.
On and on and
on. Yeah,
on
and on. Yeah, there's so many.
And if you go into your local bookstore and they don't have it, they can get it. It's pretty easy to find for
them. Yes, absolutely. Just email us.
John Bonanni and Gemma Leghorn, editors of Cape Cod Poetry Review. Thank you both.
Thank you, Mindy.
And poet Kim Baker. Kim, thanks for being with us as
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening. The Point airs weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. We're also on Facebook at The Point, WCAI. Amy Vince produces The Point. Mindy Todd is executive producer. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.